Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the Male podcast, His Stories, She Asks Him, which is found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also a free download on iTunes. Today, I'm really excited to welcome a friend from the stuttering community, who I have actually not met in person, but have chatted with several times via social media. So I want to say hello to Henrik. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm good. It's Thursday night. It's almost the holiday weekend, so I'm really good. To get us started, could you introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do with yourself.
Yeah, sure. My name is Henrik Surratt, and I'm 24, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I received my master's from the University of Chicago in computer science. And then after I received my master's, I worked for about 2 years in high frequency trading, and then I chose to leave that and become an entrepreneur.
Oh, awesome. What made you decide to get into computer science? Have you always just had a penchant for working with computers?
I've been programming since I was about 16 or 17, and at the time, it seemed like the best job for me because I stuttered. And the truth of the matter is, even though I'm in computer science and I work as a software engineer, the funny thing is that I talk a lot more than I initially anticipated. at my last job, when I worked in trading, me and my team met every single day, and then we had a meeting every morning, describe what we did and what our plans were and if we had any impediments, and we met every single day, and we were also required to do presentations and everything. So for me, at least, going for the software engineering route, I spoke a lot more than I anticipated, and but going into computer science, like, that wasn't really the only reason I went into it. I'm also a person that I want to know, like, how stuff works. So now with, like, my knowledge, I know how to, like, make Facebook or make eBay or, like, make a video game or something. And, like, that's the kind of stuff that interests me, is to build actual large systems that people could use and have fun with.
Oh, awesome. So you're one of those, like, techno nerds then, right?
I guess I'm a techno nerd, but I mean, like, the whole, like, nerd, like, the whole, like, nerd comes with a negative connotation. It's because, like, when you think of nerd, you think of, like, this, like, skinny, creepy guy with glasses with a raspy voice that can't get a date, I guess. But with me, I play sports, I break dance, I weightlift 5 times a week, and, like, I actually go out and have fun. So I guess I'm a techno nerd, but the whole, like, nerd connotation is, like, really negative in society.
Ah, so I guess you've told me. You put me in my place.
Yeah, Pam, that's right.
Now, interesting comment that you made. You said, when I asked you about computer science, that You thought that would be a good choice for you because you stutter. So are you saying that, like, you thought that that would require less talking and that's why it would be a good path for you?
Yeah, because, like, it's because, like, when you, like, think of a computer programmer, you just think of a guy that sits behind a screen and just codes all day, which is true in some sense, but it's not, but I guess it's not really true. Like this also comes from other software engineers that I've talked to, like throughout the day, they have to attend meetings, they have to brainstorm with their team. And, like, the thing with me also, when I work, I tend to talk a lot. So, if you ask any coworker I sat next to, I just love to talk. Like, I'll, like, code, and then just, like, stop, and then, like, just, like, chat with the guy, and then just chat with the guy next to me while I start to, like, code on autopilot mode or something.
So what did your coworkers think of the fact that you stuttered? Was that an issue? Was it a challenge? Did they know?
They apparently knew, is because, like, the way I talk, like, I stutter. But the thing is that they never really had a problem with it, and they never finished my sentences. They never corrected me, and they were always patient with me.
Great.
Which was completely positive, and after, like, doing meetings every single day, my fluency became better, and I think it's because, like, I was put in that situation and I had to go through it every day. And with practice comes perfect, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what they say. Personally, I don't believe in perfection. I don't think any of us are perfect, and nor should we strive for perfection. But I think sometimes people who stutter do try to be perfect in other areas. Like, maybe we try to overcompensate a little bit.
Yeah, like, I think that's true, but the fact of the matter is that no one really is perfect, and people that stutter, that strive to be perfectly fluent, like, that is physically impossible. Even the most fluent person you could find, he'll, like, stumble on a word or he'll say something wrong. If you look at Obama, like, he's definitely a good speaker, but he definitely has his mishaps, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right. Just like you said, I think everybody does. I think everybody has normal periods of disfluency, you know, and people who stutter just happen to have more of them. And, you know, that's okay for many of us. But for some people, as we know, you know, stuttering can be a real challenge. What was it like for you growing up as a kid? I mean, was it more of a challenge for you when you were younger?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure that this is the same for every single person. Like, when we're younger, we're a lot more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're also, like, a lot more sensitive as well. But the thing is that as I grew older, as I went through school and stuff, I found that people really don't care that I stutter. And the thing is that we're really our worst critic. It's because every single thing we do, we will criticize ourselves more than someone would criticize us. And my stutter, in my eyes, would look a lot worse to me than to someone else, and someone else might not even notice it. But the thing is that, the thing is, I'll know it's there, and then I'll beat myself up over it. So, like, I went into the mentality that that my stutter really isn't really an issue anymore, and that no one really cares. And that's really why I decided to join Toastmasters, before, a few years ago, if you told me about Toastmasters, I'd be like, no way. There is no way in hell I could go up in front of a whole group of people and just do a speech. But then I realized that it doesn't really matter. And the best way to become fluent is to really just practice and to push the bar and to just become confident in yourself and to just like go out there and practice. Because like you could sit in a locker room and practice your techniques all you want. But the thing is, if you put another person in that room, then all the tension will come back and then you will forget your techniques and then you'll block, blah, 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 blah. But if you practice your techniques with other people, and then you'll become more comfortable and more confident in your techniques and in yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason I decided to join Toastmasters. And the interesting thing is that when I did my icebreaker speech, which is the first speech that you do, mm-hmm. you basically just introduce yourself. And I remember when I did that speech that the night before and moments before I walked up there, I wasn't even nervous at all. All of that, like all that nervousness that I had before, like in school doing presentations and even like my hesitation joining Toastmasters, all that wasn't present because I made the realization that if I really wanted to improve, that I really have to sort of like grow the balls and like really go through it and then really practice and really strive to overcome my fears.
How long have you been in Toastmasters? Because I've been involved in it too for 5 years and I love it. And you're right. It just helps you really develop confidence and courage. And how long have you been involved?
I've been involved in Toastmasters. I've been on and off of Toastmasters, but I'd say I've been involved for about a year and a half.
Oh.
And I've done. And when I started, I was doing a speech about like every single week. But then I got really busy with work, and then with the gym and. I also started developing my own system, which would be the startup that I launched in February. So with all that going on, there was no possible way I could sit down and write a speech and attend the meetings. So I ended up just taking a break from Toastmasters, and then I came back, and then I took another break because I actually bought a Groupon for breakdancing lessons, and I decided to do that for a bit because I used to breakdance in high school and I just want to get into it a bit more again.
Oh, okay, I'll bite. What exactly is breakdancing? I mean, my image of breakdancing is like something from like the 70s or the 80s, so. What exactly does a person do in 2011 that constitutes breakdancing?
Okay, well, unfortunately, I don't know how breakdancing looked back in the day, but right now, when you do breakdancing, you do it to hip hop music. And then you just like it's like really hard to describe a dance, I guess, through voice. But like you just like.
Like, do you slam butts together? Like, that's what my image of.
Slam butts.
Yeah, like you know, like.
I don't slam no one's butt, Pam, you are being perverted right now. I don't know. I don't slam no one's butt.
So, like breakdancing, like so you don't have any bodily contact with anybody that you're dancing with.
Oh no! Like when you breakdance, you when you like breakdance, like at some bar or some club, there is a circle made on a dance floor, and then someone goes into a circle by themselves, and then they basically just bust the move out, and then they start dancing. They go onto the ground and do some groundwork. basically just like that fancy high flying stuff that you see in movies.
Oh, so like that old time movie Saturday Night Fever. Did you ever see that with John Travolta?
I saw that, but no, I don't do that. While a movie to compare it to is a movie sort of like Step Up, if you ever saw Step Up.
No, see, now this is where our age difference comes into play. Nope, never saw it. So,
Okay.
definitely more hip hop stuff.
So basically our definitions of breakdancing are completely different because I don't butt bump anyone.
Now, did you get involved because you enjoy dance, or did you see it as like a fitness activity that was different?
I saw it as a sort of cool thing to just like go out and do and to just know. Because if I go to a bar and to like a bar or club and like someone like bust a move, I would want to go and challenge them and then bust out my move. So then, so then I'm sort of center of attention, I guess.
You sound like a real risk taker. Would that
Maybe, I guess, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it sounds like break dancing, moving from one career path to another pretty courageously, joining Toastmasters because you wanted to push yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Now, kind of going into some entrepreneurial stuff. I mean, all those things, as you put it, takes balls, but it's risk-taking, and that's what like grows a person's confidence, really, right?
Well, if you put it that way, then yeah, then if you put it that way, then yeah, I would consider myself as a risk taker, because it's because like the thing with me is that like I don't it's because like the thing with me is that like I don't want to be the person that will wake up every weekday and then go to a nine to and go to a 9-to-5 job or a 8-to-6 job, come home and then watch TV. I would prefer to be the person that takes the risk and then build something that could become huge and really change the world and really inspire people. I just want to be the person that could play the guitar as well at some party, or like if I go out to like a bar, I could like start breakdancing or bust out a move or like bust out magic even or something, just to have fun, just to be the center of attention, and to just I guess give people a sort of like show and help them to aspire to become better people themselves, you know?
Oh. Yeah, that's actually a pretty cool philosophy to have.
One sec, sorry. Hold on one second. So sorry, I'm back.
That's okay. Were you always like that as a kid, wanting to be the center of attention, trying to help others? I mean,
Well, maybe I guess. No. Like, I say that when I was younger, I say that I was more of a follower in certain senses. But I definitely did still like try to have fun. No, actually, I take that back. Okay, so like, actually, I take that back. In high school high school for school, I was always the last student in and the first student out, and then I just like came home and just like played like games and stuff. So also I was more of an introvert when I was younger, and then like when I like went through like you, and then when I went through, then when I went through university, I just sort of like changed my personality and like the and like my outlook on life, because like if you like it's because like if you like go throughout life like just like just accepting what you see, like I just think that's really boring. I would prefer to be the one that will lift the bar up higher and will try and will try and create change and inspire and inspire other people to also create change as well.
Now, do you know, like, I mean, was there a moment? What was there some type of an aha moment for you? I mean, that helped you to make that change from shy, introverted high school kid who did video games by himself to this really outgoing, risk taker, entrepreneurial guy in his, you know, early 20s. I mean, what led you to the change?
I guess the thing that led me to change at first was after I received my undergrad. After I received my undergrad, I started working at an investment firm as a programmer, and I'm like the job was good and stuff, but like I really didn't like being in a cubicle. So then I applied for my master's degree to the University of Chicago, and then I ended up getting accepted there, and then I went there and then finished my degree. I went there full time and I quit my job. And then at the University of Chicago I met a lot of smart and ambitious people. After graduating there, I landed an amazing job, and then I started to finally travel the world a bit too, and then I ended up getting the idea for my first startup, which I thought would really create change, and then I think that's like when I like started to like realize that like the like best way to really make like a huge change is to take a risk and shift your life.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, wow, that just like as you were just talking, I kind of that saying from Gandhi just kind of went through my head, like be the change you want to see. And have you ever heard of that?
Nope, I've never heard of that. No.
Well, be the change you want to see. So like, if you want to see change happening in your world or in your corner of the world, one of the things that you have to do, like Gandhi did, is, you know, create that change and be that change. And it just sounds like that's, you know, like what you're all about. And,
yeah.
Wow. You got it. So did stuttering ever hold you back from anything that you wanted to do?
When I was younger, I would say that it definitely did hold me back a little bit, just because I don't have the mentality that I have. I didn't have the mentality that I have now. But the thing is that like as I went through life, I let stuttering affect me less and less. And then and right now I would never allow stuttering to hold me back in any sense whatsoever.
That's great to have that attitude already, because, you know, in your early 20s, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have that belief yet. You know, they believe, as I did for a long time, that because they stutter or because I stuttered, I felt less than everybody else for a long time. So for you to have already reached that place where you're comfortable with who you are, that probably is very inspiring to a lot of the people that you come in contact with.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I really try to, spread this mentality as well. One of the ways that I try and like spread this is that maybe about 3 years ago, I launched a website called stutteringcommunity.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial problem that I tried to fix was that I really didn't find a good central forum for people that stutter where they could just share their experiences and their ideas and news. And also a thing that I found really helpful for me to become a bit more fluent was that I used to practice on Skype with other people that stutter a lot.
Mm.
And I made Stuttering Community as a way for people to share Skype names and to just share information. And that's where stutteringcommunity.com stemmed from, and that's the reason I made it. So then I built this website and I launched it. And then throughout the years, I've probably talked to hundreds of different people that stutter around the world, everywhere from Asia to Australia to South America, and other people in Europe such as London and Greece. Even though it's a city and a country, I was trying to keep it all clunked together. But yeah, and one specific example that I remember is that there was this one member that joined. He lived in Australia, and he joined because he was the best man in his best friend's wedding. And his friend asked him to do the speech since he's the best man. And this guy was completely nervous, and he had 3 weeks to practice. So we talked a bit, and I kind of preached my whole confidence spiel about him practicing and becoming more confident. So then he practiced his speech to me every night for two or three weeks, and then he got back on, and then we talked about how it went, and he said that the speech went flawless. He was completely not nervous at all, and he did not stutter at all.
Wow. How does that feel for you to know that you've had some impact on people's lives like that? I mean, that's huge. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm a very emotional person, and I feel very empowered when I can help other people. And listening to you, it sounds like you're on this amazing journey of being so selfless, helping other people.
One of the goals that I have in life is to inspire people, and that's the reason that I helped this one guy is because since I helped this one guy and since he was inspired by me, then he could devote his time to someone else or two different people, and then he could do the same exact thing, and then this becomes a huge chain reaction, And then the whole community of people that stutter are all helped out, and they're all helped out like in some way or form, just because of the stuttering community, and that's why I built it, and that's why I'm taking the route in life that I've chosen is just to help people and to inspire change. Is because if I end up doing that, someone else could also inspire some change and do something amazing as well.
Now, so you've got this like global stuttering community online going on. Do you know a lot of people who stutter in person? Are you part of any, for lack of a better word, real stuttering community versus virtual stuttering community?
None of my personal friends stutter, mm-hmm. but I do attend the NSA conference. I definitely have met people that stutter, and I've also met people that stutter within speech therapy as well. Mm. But I guess that doesn't really count. Sorry.
So you have had speech therapy.
I have had speech therapy in grade school and in high school. But then in university I stopped, because the only reason I had speech therapy was because I went to a public school and it was just offered. So I just ended up taking it. And then within university, I did a research paper on how stuttering is caused through conditioning, and it's a learned behavior. And the like main source I used was Dr. Schwartz's book called Stutter No More.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up trying out his fluency enhancer. And the way that a fluency enhancer works is that it's a device that you plug into your ear, and then you speak, and then it plays back what you said at a slower pace and a lower pitch. So it makes you speak slower, and it sort of acts as a distraction. The device work is great. I've used it within speeches, and it just kind of distracted me and made me speak slower. But the thing is that I practice a lot, and when I take it off, it doesn't really work that well. But the thing is that it does work well when you practice the techniques a lot with other people. But the thing is that for that to work, like, you don't need the fluency enhancer and you don't need these sort of speech techniques. You just need to go and practice with people to gain confidence.
Right.
And like, that's why I weighed myself off of the fluency enhancer, because I found that the best way to become fluent is to just speak with other people and to just gain your confidence and to prove to yourself that you could be fluent.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that kind of brings us full circle back to where we were at the beginning of our conversation. I mean, is your goal to be fluent, or is your goal to just be the best communicator Henrik can be?
Like I said before, that it's completely impossible to become fluent. But my goal is to just be the best communicator I could be, the first thing that I did was join Toastmasters so I could become a better speaker, and then a second thing is that I became a entrepreneur. And the thing about becoming a entrepreneur is that you have to talk. If you want your business to be successful, you have to talk. The startup that I launched this past February is called Have a Voice. And the reason that I create and the reason that I create Have a Voice was that like I found no good direct way to contact my elected officials. And actually the story that and actually the story that goes with the idea of Have a Voice is that I received two tickets for tints on my car, and the reason that I got the tints was that I heard that tints were legal in Illinois, but Chicago ended up making them illegal, and then I got the tints assuming that I could get tints since they're legal in Illinois, but the thing is that I got hit with two tint tickets, and I wanted to I thought that this law was complete BS and I want to change it, but the thing is that I wasn't sure if I should contact my alderman's office or the mayor's office or the whoever or how to contact them either through email or phone call and or through or just through snail mail. And then finally I wasn't even like sure if my inquiry would even be read or heard or even be taken seriously. So what I ended up creating was a website where people like you and me could just go post issues within our neighborhood city and our state, and then politicians could come to us directly, their constituents, and reply to our concerns publicly.
Do they?
Not yet. It is extremely hard to get the politicians to sign up for the service. Actually, one of the things that I and actually one of the things that I have to do is that I have to call them, and I made a bunch of phone calls, believe me. And by just doing those phone calls, I definitely became a lot more fluent. My pitch got better. And that proved to me that really practicing really does help.
Now, one last theme or concept, because it's amazing how time flies when you're having such insightful dialogue. Do you think No, this has been really like you really like shared a lot about your story and who you are and how you've not let stuttering stand in the way. Do you think that there's any fundamental differences between men and women who stutter?
I don't know. I guess there might be, because how to like phrase this without offending women?
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah. No. Well, like, okay. Well, like, okay. Well, like, I like, I would say, and like, I've heard this as well, that like, women are more concerned about like their appearance. So like, they would be more inclined to be ashamed of their stutter and hide it as well, just to not appear, I guess, sort of like not perfect in a sense. And then guys might tend to like care a bit less. And then with guys, if someone makes fun of some guy that stutters, they could just like punch the guy out. You know, he'll like like the like the guy will be offended, and then boom, he'll knock the guy out.
So is that why you're a bodybuilder and you work out so much so that you can be prepared if need be?
Oh yeah, people are gonna go down.
Has anybody ever made fun of you for stuttering?
Yeah, I've been made fun of in grade school, but definitely a bit less in high school, and then in university, and now I've people don't even mention it, and it seems like they just don't really care.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think it has anything to do with the fact that you have a physical presence that people don't want to mess with?
Man, they better not anyways.
Oh, wow. So you said you said you go to the NSA conferences. So you're going to the conference next week in Fort Worth?
I am going to go next week, and you are going to get 22 and have hugs because I was late today.
I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to get some hugs from, a person that's really been open and honest and really wanting to share yourself with other people. And that's really evident in what you're doing and, what you've shared. And, you're somebody that walks the walk.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Not everybody does. So, thank you so much for sharing your story here. I appreciate your honesty and your willingness to just go with the flow here, because we didn't prepare anything, and you were really honest, and I thank you, and I think you're gonna touch a lot of lives.
All right, cool. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and this has been His Stories, She Asks Him.